Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I am your host for the podcast. Now today I'm really excited because I've got a very special guest on, one that I love. She's been on a couple of times, but I love having her on. I love having her on because she has this wonderful connection between business and spirituality, really, about how we can bring our true selves into our business and really focusing on that small business entrepreneurial type person, which is obviously me and her and the people that she works with. So I'm really excited to have Melly on the show. Welcome to the show, Mel.
Hello, thank you for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
No, you're the pleasure. I think that's right, yeah. I'm really excited about this because you've come up with this beautiful way or program of being able to bring our true essence out in our business without shying away from it, without feeling like, oh no, we can't be emotionally attached or we can't show our true selves in our business. And that's what I really like about this. But before we start, there's a lot of people that may have not heard of you or about you, and I would like them to get an understanding of who you are and how you got to where you are today.
Well, where do we start? So I've been in business quite a long time now. If we really go right back, I started selling records at the markets with my dad when I was a kid. So I think I've always been in the business field in some way, shape or form. But I've also been a very intuitive person as well. And I found it very challenging to merge the two together. It almost seemed taboo most of my life that to be in business, you couldn't talk about the intuitive stuff. You couldn't be intuitive. Everything had to be very logical. And it really annoyed me, to be honest. And I got to this point in my own spiritual journey where it really started to come through that there's a big connection between the two. You cannot separate what's going on inside of you, your own spiritual journey, your own intuition, and your business, and especially from the other perspective, the other side of things, because people can see. And I know you've had this situation as well where you are talking to somebody who has a business and there's a part of you that's going, something doesn't feel right here. Your intuition is going off. It's ringing bells going, there's something not quite right. And I find it's usually because they're trying to be someone they're not in their business. It takes energy to hold yourself back and people can pick up on that intuitively. So I got to this point where I went, there's got to be a connection. So my journey took me, it was a very intense journey, but I discovered in that process the stages of self methodology, which takes you all the way from those really disempowering stories we tell ourselves, things like fear, shame, the bitterness that creeps in over time, those stories of hurt and loneliness, and we move through those in a very cyclical way until we find this graceful self-leadership. And what I discovered as I was going through this myself, my business was a reflection of that journey as well. So the more work I did on myself, the more my business evolved and changed too. So it was really interesting when I then got to test this out on others and watch the same journey unfold for them as well.
So when you're saying that, Mel, are you a business coach? Are you a life coach? Because you're talking about two different things here. Or are you talking about two different things here?
Well, that's the big challenge I've got, that a lot of people separate the two, that they say there's business mentoring or business coaching, and then there's life coaching and there's life mentoring. but you can't separate them. I truly believe that if we are women, especially if we are to run a business in alignment with who we are, if we are real, if we are authentic, if we're raw, you cannot separate the two. So for me, I don't really say I'm a business mentor. I don't really say I'm a life mentor. I'm just a support person to help somebody on their journey. And I've got these skills that I bring to the table. I've got skills, I've got my gifts, and so do they.
Okay, you're talking about your skills and your gifts. Can you elaborate a little bit more about them? Because I know you've got a lot of the spiritual gifts and that side of it, but what are the business gifts you've got if you're helping business as well?
I like to call those skills and gifts our magic, because sometimes they're not tangible things. So one of my biggest things that I bring to the table, and it took me a long time to accept, is that when I get involved, things happen. There's movement. Whether I am physically doing something, so if I'm bringing my digital marketing skills to the table, if I'm bringing my creativity skills to the table, regardless, there's that magic, there's that intuitive part of me that just drives things forward. So I find even if it is, say, digital marketing, I'm doing Google Ads, things get driven forward. If I'm doing a card reading for somebody, it still has this element of transformation and progress and movement to what I'm doing. So I find the more we can come back to that magic and really accept and embrace that part of ourselves, it filters out to all areas of our life, whether it be personal life or business.
Now, hang on a minute. You're saying that you have got digital marketing skills. You're saying you've got the creativity skills, and I know you do the social media marketing. I'm quite aware that you've built websites and different things. So I know that those skills there. But are you also saying you're bringing to the table card readings and other intuitive sort of readings and ways of helping people forward? Like, you are actually embracing both of them.
Oh, big time. I don't want to separate the two. I found I got to this point in my journey where it felt like I was doing myself a disservice to be separating them, that it felt like I was trying to be one person over here, but I wasn't fully myself. So if I was doing, say, Google Ads, but I wasn't being intuitive in how I was also progressing with those, yes, there's tons of data, there's tons of logic, but there's also a part of you that just goes, hang on a second, this doesn't feel quite right. And I had to bring that to the table in order to feel like I was fully showing up as myself. And now I do the same in the other side of things that I do. So yes, I do tarot readings. I do a lot of channeled poetry or inspired poetry. I love writing love letters to my database every week, just to encouraging them, reminding them that they are magic and they're allowed to embrace it. I do art, I do lots of different things, but I bring all of who I am to it because I don't want to separate myself anymore. And I think the moment we have that separation, other people intuitively pick up on that and they go, something's not right there.
Yes, absolutely. And what I find really, really interesting in the fact that for so many years, I put myself forward about my skills, my business skills, my way of doing this, my Google Ads, my, you know, all that analytical things. And I was really, really pushing that analytical side of it, but it never, ever felt right. And yeah. I know it wasn't until I started to bring forward that spiritual aspect of myself, which has always been there, but I was always a little bit hesitant to express it. Yeah, and so, you know, I had trouble doing that until recently, where it's now like, no, that's who I am. I'm embracing that side of me. So I so get that. And I've had a lot of guests on that I talk about their side of the business. So they are a life coach, they class themselves a life coach or whatever it is they are. And I can see them really struggling with the business side of business, because it's not sitting right with them. It's the sales part of it or the marketing part of it. So you have a background in marketing. How do we get through that if we are so self-love, and we're trying. Okay, hang on, let me put it this way. I hate sales. I hate pushy salespeople. Can't stand it. Really struggle with it. If somebody shoves something in my face, I'm more likely to tell them where to stick it rather than buy it. What is that all about? And how is that changing, and what does it mean for us?
So to get to the core understanding of that, it comes back to human behavior. So the reason we are so resistant to that type of sales technique or that marketing technique is because nobody has considered us in that equation, or what I call our stages of self. So I believe we've got four stages of self, and we go through all those four stages and we cycle through them at all times. But when it comes to our marketing, when it comes to helping our people, it's not about selling to them, it's offering support. So it's offering them support to create something in their life, offering them support to overcome the shame and guilt so they can love themselves more, offering them support to do something, to take action, to change things, and just offering them support to keep moving forward in the legacy they're here to create. So for me, I don't like that pushy sales either. It feels so wrong. It feels very egotistical and, as you said, pushy. I don't like that pushy, but I am all for attraction marketing. So that is coming from that magnetic side of life and just going, I can see you need help. Would you like me to express how I can help you? Would you like me to offer you this? But being respectful of the answer that you're given in return. So I found, I don't know about you, but going to the shopping centers where they jump out in front of you going, can I have a moment of your time today? And then you go, no, thank you, I'm busy. And then they keep talking. To me, that is so rude, so disrespectful. That has not acknowledged anything that's going on for me. And in that moment of time, I could be smack bang in the middle of my solitary sovereign, feeling hurt and lonely and not want to talk to anybody while I'm going through what's going on inside. So I feel when it comes to marketing, we have to be very respectful of the other person. And that's what's been missing in so much of the business world today. And I feel that's why we get so attached to certain identities and we feel like we have to do things a certain way. But when we really come back to it, our intuition knows the right way to do it. We know underneath everything, we are humans. We're all living this experience together. It's not always easy. So instead of trying to pull stuff out of other people, we just offer and go, I'm here. How can I help you? What can I do to support you on your next step? And being okay with whatever answer you get back.
Okay, I really like that. So the main thing, as you're saying, is putting it forward there in your customer or ideal customer, ideal client, ideal guest, whatever you want to call them, what stage they are up to. And I want to go back into the stages of self, but in a minute, because I get that understanding of the stages of self for that marketing side of it. What I want to get an understanding of is we have a lot of, like I said, coaches and different people like that. And you're talking about that spiritual side in the marketing and connecting in that, and I get that. But I want to go back to the foundations. How do we know what the foundations are? Because, like, I had the I wrote a book about flowers, how to do flowering. That was great. But then I went, now what do I do with it? And I get the marketing side of it. I need to address my marketing, see what stage they're up to. I'm in that stage of self, and then address that. But selling a book isn't a business. Unless you've got lots of books, it's not a business. So there was other areas I needed to look at and need to get an understanding of. So I guess you would probably call them your foundations, your business foundations. Now, can you help with that, or is it all yours just about the marketing?
Oh, no, we go right back. So as you were saying, that it is about the other person, but that is then a reflection of us. So in the spiritual world, we all know the saying, as above, so below, as within, and then without. And it's the same when it comes to our business. So the marketing is them, but it reflects back at us. So we have to come back to our own stages of self. Are we looking after ourselves? Are we going through our creation phases? Are we setting strong foundations for what we want to create in the world? Then we go into the next one. Are we looking after ourselves? If we want to create this thing, what do we actually need during that creation? Because wants and needs are two very different things. And then we actually move into the next one. What do I desire? And I find this is where a lot of the feminine-led businesses, we disconnect from the desire part of it because that's where it becomes very intuitive. And that desire is where we really feel into that want. It's not just going, well, I want $1 million. The desire for $1 million is going, it's juicy. It's like, what can I do with $1 million? So it's coming into that desire phase next. And that desire phase then has action. When you really lean into desire, there's always a body response to it, which I find really, really fun. And then we've got the dream. What is the dream? Where is this bigger vision, this foundation we're creating? How will this impact others as well? So we've got to go through all of those for ourselves, keeping in mind what do our clients want, which is the same, usually the same thing. And then how do we fill that part of our business to support ourselves and meet the other person at the same time? So it's this beautiful, I always draw it in circles.
I know.
It's very big and it took me a long time to get my head around it as well because there is so many angles to consider, which is where I find we do get stuck in business because we're looking at ourselves in the center going, okay, have I looked after myself? Am I leading myself appropriately so I can then grow my business? So my business can then support those that come to me. So it's this beautiful kind of evolution that starts from within us, which to me shows that you cannot disconnect your business from your inner world. They are profoundly connected.
And it is almost like that onion layer, isn't it, as it goes out.
Yep.
You've got four stages of self. So
correct.
We're looking at the four stages of self. When we're taking into consideration that we have to take into consideration ourselves, obviously,
yep,
our clients or our target audience, and then we have to have the business to reflect that, to actually support all of that. So
yep.
The first stage of self is, what's the first stage of self called?
We call that the untethered creator.
Oh, the untethered creator. I love that. And that's all about our foundations. So
yes.
What I'd love to get a bit of an understanding of is both that physical aspect of the foundations and the spiritual aspect, because obviously we've got the two sides that we're looking at in our stages
yes.
of self. Can,
awesome.
without sharing too much IP, can we get into
No, that? It's all good. I'm not precious about my IP. I fully believe that if you've got something that is life-changing, then it should be out there for people to get access to. Because at the end of the day, the IP is not the thing you've created. It's you. It's what you bring to the table. It's your magic. So I'm more than happy to talk about all of it without any reservations. So our untethered creator, we say untethered because at its lowest form or in its shadow side, if we use the spiritual term, the untethered part of us is fear. So it's almost like that electricity. When there is no grounding to electricity, it shoots out everywhere and can hurt people. It's erratic. There is no prediction to what that electricity is going to do. But with foundations, with grounding, that electricity is no longer untethered. It becomes creation. And we know from science that you need an electric spark to start the creation process. Yes, there's magnetism, but it also needs electricity. So in that element of things, once we've grounded ourselves, grounded our business through what it is we're actually creating, we then take that out further and look at our clients. What are they trying to create? What do they want in their lives? And then we flip it at that point and go, okay, they want to create this. So how do I bridge the gap between my creation and their creation? So that's where this beautiful, almost you get to a pinnacle and then it flips into them and then back again as we figure out that untethered creator stage of self, not just for us, but for them as well. So then
Sorry, Mel, can you give us an example on that? Because it sounds good and I understand what you're talking about. I would just like to ground it for the listeners in a way that they get an understanding. So if they've, I've written a book, but say they were doing a program or say they were writing or they're selling something, how do we flip that with the foundations?
Yeah. Okay. So say you've got a book. At that want level, writing a book is all good, but what are you going to do with it? What do you want that book to accomplish in the world? So the book itself is pretty untethered. Like it's to some extent, and I apologize if this offends anyone, but it's almost pointless without that bigger vision of where it needs to go. So with a book, until you ground it in this has a place in the bigger picture here, this has a place because it will do X, Y, Z down the line, then suddenly it's grounded. That book doesn't have this pointless energy. You're not walking around with a book going, buy my book, read my book, see my book. There's more of a purpose to it. There's a reason for it being where it is, which comes back to that marketing angle as well. You're not walking up to somebody and smacking them in the face going, buy my book, when they have no idea who you are or what you can even give to them.
Yeah, okay. And the same with it, it's okay to create a workshop or create something else, but if it's not something, you're trying to target somebody that doesn't need that. So say you were doing a retreat or something, and it's for women and it's going to help them transform, and you're marketing it to men who don't want to transform. So it's you're not grounding it properly and not creating those proper foundations for it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, it's very cool when you look at it. I always like looking at it as the flower of life. So our cycles are playing out, the client cycles are playing out, and it's learning how to overlap them in the right way and the right time, and then providing yourself with that space to do it within yourself. So it's all these different overlapping circles, but I've just tried to simplify it, and it's easier when you've got the graphic to look at. But eventually it just becomes this mirror. What's going on inside of you reflects out into your business, which becomes a mirror of your clients as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm very close to home on this because, basically I wrote a book and walked around trying to slap people in the face with it. I didn't understand. I knew it was a good book and I knew it had meaning and purpose, but I didn't know how to ground that. And I didn't know how to create the right foundations to allow that to be helpful for somebody. And it wasn't until I got that understanding and I did. And look, I'm going to fess up. I did a lot of work with Melly. Melly and I have worked together for quite some time. That's why I love the work she does. I know I'm asking questions that I actually know the answers to, but that's for the benefit of the listeners. But the way Mel puts together the foundations, it just concreted me. It concreted my business. It concreted the way I can relate to people. And one of them was the podcast, because I wanted to do the podcast, but I didn't really know why, how, or what. There was a passion, a drive, and Melly helped me concrete that. So I really get those foundations are so important, and having those, whatever I do above that, I know they're on a strong base.
I like to look at it as balloons, so that you've got all these different creative endeavors. So you've got all these different balloons floating around, but if you don't tie them down to something, they're going to fly away. Nobody's going to know how to find that balloon again. So, like, there's no problem with being creative. And I know so many spiritual women who have so many inspired ideas, but if we can't tie them down to something foundational, something solid, it just drifts away into nothing. There's that untethered portion of that energy.
Yeah, I love that. And the other aspect too is, because I always felt that this is my age showing, okay, sorry. I always felt we had to do it a certain way, and this is how you did it, and this is what you were supposed to do. What I liked about getting with somebody like yourself, Mel, is the fact that every part of me is unique to me. And as you said, every part of me is like a balloon. And when I bring them all together, it's amazing what a business we can create, because it's like somebody else, if they were doing coaching and they were doing yoga with it or breath work with it or, you know, something else with it, bringing them all together, it just creates a magical vision if you're looking at balloons, and it makes every balloon bag different, you know. Everyone is unique, so I really love that. But what is number two? What's the second stage of self?
So after we've had all these creations, we've tied them down to something, so they're grounded, they've got a foundation, then we have to look at our needs. Because, yes, we may want all this stuff in the world, but what do we need? And I like going right back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs here, where the very basic things of home, shelter, love, belonging, and then right up to that self-actualization. So we tend to forget that we need stuff as well. And I come across this so much in the business world, and I'll admit I was guilty of it myself, that we get so fixated on what we want that we forget we need to address what we need from a financial perspective as well. We get so focused on wanting the business, wanting and attaching to that identity of being in business, that suddenly what we need to survive financially isn't there. We're not supporting ourselves with a solid foundation in that respect of things. So the next step is really looking at our needs. What do I need? How do you move through the shame and guilt that hold you back from giving yourself what you need? Which, when you move through to the higher end, is just self-love.
Okay, so and what's that one called, Mel?
That is our nurturing devotee. So at its worst, we over-nurture, we pull love out of others because of shame and guilt. We all experience it. Which is funny because you say shame and guilt, but it's nothing to be ashamed about because we all experience it. But that nurturing part of us can be beautiful when we are not pulling it and using it in a toxic way. So at the big end of that, once you've moved through all this shame and guilt and gone, it's okay to give myself what I need. It's okay if I just make my business a hobby while I'm still earning income over here because I need that to feel financially secure. We move up to this place of self-devotion, which is where we become a devotee. We're devoted to giving ourselves what we need so we feel safe in our lives. And to me, that's very fundamentally important, especially for women.
Absolutely. And when you're talking about that nurturing stage, it's almost like that mother where I know as a mother, you just tend to give, and you're giving to everyone else except for yourself.
Yes.
So that definitely sounds like that aspect of it. So when you're looking at that and we're looking at it in a business sense, you're talking about is your business running enough maybe to, is it supporting you enough? So you've created those foundations, but is it supporting you in a financial sense? Because I know when I was doing the podcast and everything else, I was loving it. I love the podcast. And in doing that, your podcast, I'm not making any money on, but I'm spending a lot of time on it. And so I had to sort of go through that stage where I've gone, is it viable to do the podcast? Am I, you know, expecting finances from them? What am I expecting out of that? You know,
you're getting something else. You're getting a different need met by doing it. Yes. So it's not always money. Yeah.
Exactly. But in the same token, I had to look at something else because I still needed money.
Yeah.
I needed the recognition and that lovely interaction with people, but I also needed money. So I had to look further afield on that. So, and that was called the nurturing
devotee.
Okay. So the nurturing
devotion.
Yes. Beautiful. Okay. So what is stage number three?
I love stage number three. She is our disruptive warrior. So she is the part of us that has to move through the bitterness and the anger, the jealousy, all those really almost destructive emotions to become a warrior. So what she does, that part of ourselves, is looking at, why am I jealous of this other person? Why am I jealous of what they've got in business? Because jealousy always leads to bitterness. That bitterness is this sense of, why not me? Why am I missing out? So it's looking at those really dark and almost volatile emotions and going, okay, what can I do with this? If I'm jealous, if I've got bitterness because this person has a number one best-selling book, a podcast, they're doing all of this stuff, why can't I change that into something that serves me? So instead of allowing this jealousy, this bitterness to fester, disrupt my life, I can use it to drive me forward. I can turn that into motivation. And then you become the warrior because you're taking these really dark, almost, it is destructive, really, emotions. Mm. Allow yourself to do something constructive with it. So that warrior part of us is really important when it comes to a business that is changing the way things are done. Because you almost have to lead your business from that energy. You're disrupting the status quo of society or the status quo of a particular industry, which means you have to regularly become comfortable with grabbing those flames that are hurled your way and using that as motivation to drive you forward. So that part of our business, our personal businesses, is where we really take action. So I find when we're building a business for a client, when we get to that point, that's when a lot of transformation happens for you and for your clients. Because at that point, the status quo is up for review. You're looking at it from both perspectives. Why are you bitter about the way things are right now? How do we transform? How do we change? And I love using a phoenix as the symbolism for that side of things, because at some point you have to let that fire, that bitterness, burn yourself down to nothing but ash, so then you can pick yourself up to move forward. So I love that beautiful imagery that you can get, that sometimes the bitterness serves a purpose. It's got to burn itself out. It's got to change the past, change the way things have been, so you can move forward into a better future.
Oh, I love that. And it so resonates when you're looking at, you're looking at, say, social media, and you're seeing people on there and you're thinking, oh my goodness, their life is just perfect. You know, like, because that's what they're showing you, obviously. Their life is perfect. I want mine to be like that because I'm living my regular life and there's a bit of shit happening, you know, like, and so I can see that jealousy and that bitterness coming through as we look at somebody else's and perceive that they are doing better than us. And then if we keep on with that bitterness and that jealousy, we start to create things in line with that bitterness and jealousy. Yeah?
Correct. Yes.
Instead of being the warrior and just standing up and saying, you know what? I don't care. I don't care if people don't know what flower readings are. I'm still going to do it because I love it.
Yep. And oh, I hear you. I don't care that there's hundreds of people doing archetypes. I love this. This is holds a place for me. So I'm going to keep moving forward with it.
Yes. And it's amazing. It is that understanding that you've got to get through that crap, that shitty bits. You've got to get through that to sort of stand up and go, you know what? What I've got and what I'm doing is unique to me. And look, I just have to, sorry, I shouldn't go off tangent here, but even last week I went down to Coolangatta to do readings, and it was a really weird day down there and we didn't get a single reading through. Now, normally for the little shop, they'll get 2, 3, 4, 5 readings coming through and people are just walking off the street. They don't know who's on. Sometimes they pre-book when they want somebody in particular, but most of the time they just walk in off the street and just, I need a reading. That last Thursday, it was horrendous. There was nobody on the street, nobody coming into the shop, and certainly nobody asking for a reading. And I tended to take it on board personally. And I had to step through that and go, you know what? It's not just about me. Hey, egotistical little person. It is about the world in general. There was movement happening. There was energy happening down there. This week I go there and there's four readings that come through. And it's like, oh, you know, what am I thinking of? They didn't come to me. They came for a reading. And that's getting through that. You know, eager to. I even thought of maybe I should go back to my old cards and not do the flower readings, you know, but that's where we have to be a warrior and stand up. That's the example I'm giving anyway. Is that sort of right?
Yes, because the warrior is courageous. She perseveres. And to be that courageousness and to persevere when things aren't going right, because you know deep down that your wants, your needs, and now your desires are in alignment, and you have to keep pushing forward because it feels right. Intuitively, you know it's right. It takes that warrior energy. It takes that strength from within you to go, it's okay, I can keep moving forward. I'm determined to get what I want, even if this isn't quite playing out the way I thought it would just right now. So, I completely understand where you came from with that story. I'm sure anger would have come up for you going, you would have been angry at yourself, angry at others, maybe even angry at the shop. But really, when you move through that, it's just more motivation now for you to do something to bring more people in.
Absolutely. And it wasn't like I was angry with them. I was disappointed in me.
Which is the next stage of self.
Yeah, I felt like I'd let the team down. I was disappointed in me. And then it was like, no, I had no control over that. That's not part of me. And yes, I can go and do card readings like everybody else, but that's not why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it didn't feel right to change. But in the same token, it felt strange to stay there. But yeah, like you said, I had to stand in that warrior and go, nah, just going to do it and see what happens. Yep. Okay. What is next? What's the fourth stage of self? You got me really intrigued.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with the word you said before, disappointment. So once we've stepped into this warrior, and I see this a lot with the women I work with, we almost become not cynical, but overly protective. So we barrel forward. We push people out of the way. This is what I want. This is what I desire. This is what I need. This is what you're going to give me. And as the spiritual world knows, we always have those moments where spirit steps in and goes, your ego's taking over. We need to knock you down a peg. And I find that's where our solitary sovereign comes in. So we've gotten to this point where we're strong, we're determined, we're moving forward, but we're very much in electric energy then. It's fiery electric energy, which means we need to soften back into our feminine, into our magnetic energy. And the only way to do that is to pull within. And I don't know about you guys, but everybody I've worked with, the quickest way for us to come back into our heart space is hurt and loneliness. So I find at that next stage, once we've become so resilient, so confident in who we are, we get pulled back down to go, hang on, come back to your humanness, come back to being humble. What is actually hurting here? Where are you feeling a bit lonely? What is it that you're actually intuitively need to do to move forward? Do you trust that enough to then allow the journey to play out the way it needs to play out? So I find from that business angle, this is where we get into co-creation with our clients. Because we can't, and I find a lot of people will create a program and go, you need to follow this program. Week one, week two, week three, this is what we're doing. But there's some weeks where something is playing out in the client's life. Something has to happen. They have to experience it in a very particular way for them, which could happen over a couple of weeks, could happen over a couple of months. So we have to then move through our hurt and loneliness and go, okay, kind of hurts that it's not playing out the way my ego thought this would play out, but I need to accept that their journey is what it needs to be and that this is the journey for me as well. So I find when we get to this beautiful self-acceptance of ourselves, of what we're going through, and acceptance of their journey and what they're going through, we get to step into what I call the sovereign. So that's where we put on the crown, we hold our head high, we have grace, we have dignity, we honor ourselves, we honor them, and we can honor wherever they are in their own stages of self as well.
Oh, kind of... I love that. Oh, that's so cool. All right, so, and I'm trying to put it, to give an example, I'm trying to put it into context for myself. And I guess that after doing the four readings last Thursday, I didn't feel egotistical. I didn't sort of feel, oh, well, they've come to me, I'm really cool. It was like, oh, now everyone's happy. The shop's happy. The people that came to me are happy and I'm happy. So it was like a win-win-win. And that is what felt really, really good. And interacting with those ladies there that were getting the readings and seeing them grow and get their aha moment is like, oh, wow. It was very, very beautiful. So I really understand that. And that's part of that need or want in the background, isn't it? I want to help them. And I guess sometimes there's part of me that really needs to have that interaction with people.
Yep.
So I guess that's where that
comes
in. So
that's the need of belonging. You need to belong. So you need that interaction. That fills you up with love.
Mm.
But you also desire to create change, to create transformation in their lives, which is that warrior part coming through. But then being able to accept that their journey is still what it is. So you may bring them everything they need. You may be offering them the support they need. But if they say no, you still have to accept that as well.
Yes.
And it's when you can move through all of those without taking it to heart, or at least with awareness, that I say you become a sacred leader. Because for me, that sacred leader is honoring and acknowledging that I am an untethered creator. There are going to be times when my electricity hurts others, and there's going to be times where I create a really strong foundation and I use that to create what I want. There's going to be times when I'm over-nurturing, over-giving to others, and there's going to be times where I'm very self-devoted and I've got that balance right. There's going to be times where I get angry and bitter, and then there's going to be times where I'm really strong in my warrior, I'm determined and I'm persevering. And there's also going to be times where I'm hurt and lonely, but I'm also accepting of others. And when you can embrace all of that and then allow that to expand into your business, which then reflects into the lives that you're changing, that to me is sacred leadership.
Oh, Mel, that is gold. Before I go any further, I've got to ask a little bit more about sacred leadership. Before I go any further, it is, if you want to connect with Melly, for those who are listening, it is mellys.com.au. It's an Australian business, so you've got to have the AU at the end. So Melly, mellys.com.au. Now, tell me about your sacred leader, because if people want to go into your sacred leader program, they're actually going to go right through all that, not only with themselves, but with their business as well, which is pretty scary. most of the people will just do, most of the coaches and that, the business coaches will just do your business, and then you've got your spiritual coaches that will just do that. You are working on both at the same time, so you've got a very targeted audience. And just, can you tell us, we haven't got a lot of time, but can you tell us a little bit about your sacred leader program?
Yeah, of course. So with the sacred leader, like we've been saying, there's such a profound connection between our inner world and our business, and then the impact that business has. I don't believe you can separate it. You can't separate it. Not if you are running a heartfelt business that is doing transformation, that is creating transformation for your clients. So I find anybody who's got that spiritual heart, who wants to help facilitate others on their journeys, they are the people I tend to work with, because we seem to have the spiritual woman, we seem to have very specific woundings that we have to move through, and which means we have very specific fears, shames and guilts, very specific bitterness and very specific hurts, which unless we move through, as we've said, ripple out into our business. And that's where we end up with those leaders walking around going, you have to do things my way and my way only, or I don't want to work with you. And to me, that's not a sacred leader. That's not respectful of the client's journey as well as respectful of your journey. There is this beautiful balance. So when we go through sacred leader, we go through all of it. We start with, how are you feeling today? Where are you up to with it? Are you in your untethered creator right now? Great. Have you got those foundations, or do we need to set another foundation in your life so you feel good? Now let's look at your business. Where's that rippled out into your business? What foundation is missing there? Because it's a reflection of each other. So it is this beautiful balance of facilitating the emotional and spiritual journey that we go through while bringing some very tangible business knowledge and skills to the table as well. Because that's the other part of what I see a lot of business coaches are doing. It's all the tangible, this only. But you need that, you need the balance of both. So one of the things that, it's a personal pet peeve of mine, once again, I apologize if I offend anyone, but it really annoys me seeing this really talented women with such amazing capabilities to transform people's lives, and there is no business foundations. You can't contact them, or you can't contact them easily. You've got no idea what their pricing structure is. You've got no idea how they're actually going to help you, but you've got this sense that they could be really good at it. It starts building this level of distrust between you and those people, and then they don't get to do what they should be doing. So to me, you can't separate the two. So sacred leader goes through all of it. How do we get you in the right place so you are self-empowered, so you are leading yourself through all of your stages, so your business is a reflection of that, so your clients can move with you as well. It's kind of cool.
Oh, that's so cool. And because you've got the marketing background and everything, you can help them with their social media. You can, and you've got a photography background, you can help them with their imagery. And it's just amazing what you can do. But we are running out of time. Sorry, Mel. I would have loved to have gone into a little bit more. I love how you express it and tell us and share. It's good. It's so cool.
Thank you.
Have you got any last little words that you can give to us to help us?
Well, if you would like to connect with me further, I run a weekly show called She Does Not Tiptoe. The spiel is where I share what's going on up there so you don't tiptoe around what's going on in here. So I do use the stages of self methodology to help you understand what's going on so you can remain in your self leadership and then help those you're meant to help as well. So if you would like some more information on that, just go to my website, melies.com.au. That's it.
Wow, wonderful. And that is also on Facebook. So jump on Facebook. That's where you'll be able to get those weekly readings and some lots of tips and tricks and everything else. But go through the website, melies.com.au, and sign up for the newsletter. You'll definitely get it all then. So that's really cool. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me again.
No worries. Stay there. Don't go away. Hang on. Let me just press the right buttons. And guys, you've got to have a look. Have a look at the website. Jump onto melies.com.au. I just love that it's not one or the other. We're getting both. And it's that you get that lovely practical aspect of growing your business and getting that understanding of the foundations and where you're at while you're actually getting that spiritual learning and that spiritual understanding. When you work with Melly, you can't unlearn what you learn. She will hit you over the head if she needs to hit you over the head, I can assure you, but she does it gently with love. But anyway, she's so cool. Jump on and have a look. But that's it for me this week. I will catch up with you next week. Share, subscribe, like the podcast, and we will see you all next week. Okay, guys, bye for now.